It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. The Iowa Braille Challenge took place over the weekend. It's a regional competition that gives kids the chance to test their Braille skills against other Braille readers. The winners go on to the National Braille Challenge in California. In a few minutes, I'll talk with one of the winners of this year's contest. But first, Emily Wharton is here. She is Technology Director for the Iowa Department of the Blind. Hello, Emily.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here today. And I think a lot of us hear the Iowa Braille Challenge and think, what? So let's talk about what is the contest actually like?
Well, there's five different age groups for kids of, you know, starting really little kids going all the way up into high school. And they get tested on different areas of, you know, reading competency in terms of like spelling and proofreading. And, you know, the older kids work with charts and graphs and other tactile representations like that. And so it's a chance for them to, you know, to take these tests and see how they score against people from all across North America and compete for prizes and a trip to California, and just to really kind of, you know, experience how Braille is, you know, to kind of get a better extra bonus appreciation for what Braille can do for them.
How long has this competition been going on?
It's been going on since 2000. We've been a regional site here in Iowa for 11 years, and we're one of 46 regional sites across all of North America. We've been really fortunate that we had five finalists last year go to the nationals in LA, and that's kind of disproportionately high for what a small kind of state we are with, you know, not having as many kids as some of the bigger regionals and things like that. So we're really proud of that. We're really proud of these kids. They work really hard and their teachers work, you know, really hard. And so it's just a lot of fun to be involved with them and see them, see how excited they get and, see them when they win and, you know, just kind of getting to meet each other and hang out with each other and that kind of thing.
The teaching of Braille is less common now than it used to be. Why has that changed over time?
A lot of people say that because we have so much technology these days that Braille is becoming obsolete. Kind of a pet peeve of mine. I'm a technology person. I'm a technology nut, actually. But I'm a really, really big Braille advocate, as are a lot of people, because a statistic shows, there's a study by Dr. Ruby Riles that shows that 90% of employed blind people read Braille. And so Braille literacy is so key to success. But a lot of people think, oh, well, because you can use, audio recording devices and we've got our iPhones and we've got our, you know, computers and everything like that, that, you know, obviously you don't need Braille. But actually, technology does so much to make more opportunities for Braille. I have sitting here with me a Braille note-taking device where basically I can type in little keys and the little pins pop up and the Braille shows up on the keys, and I can use that to take meeting notes in a meeting or in a class. And I also have, because that thing runs on batteries, I have beside me a slate and stylus that is like the equivalent of a pen and paper, so that I could write down Braille whenever I if I needed to make a few notes or whatever. That never runs out of batteries. That never has any real technical difficulties, and it's always dependable. So having, you know, there, being able to, you know, take down and get back information is still so key, even in this highly technological age, that, you know, that until the pen and paper go away, you know, hard copy Braille and having Braille and all these Braille options is always going to be essential. It's always going to be useful.
Well, and when you hear that statistic that 97% of blind people who are employed read Braille, do you think that it is a significant key to that kind of independence and being a part of society in that way?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of different things that, you know, being able to read and write Braille does for you. First, it gives you kind of that basic literacy tool. Like, I can go and write something down, take down a phone number and read it back. I can, you know, go into meetings and take notes easily. You know, so there's the basic utility of it. But then there's kind of something a little bit more is, I know that I can deal with things because I can read Braille, different situations that might come up that I might not, I know that I have that extra tool, and that gives me a little extra confidence, and it helps me to, you know, walk a little bit taller and, you know, feel better about things. And I think that carries over as well. It just helps you feel more prepared for the world around you.
Now, you are legally blind. When did you learn to read Braille?
I've had pretty much the same vision my whole life, but I was not taught to read Braille as a child. I was taught to read print, and I can still read print really slowly now. But when I was in high school, I was probably reading about 50 words a minute in print with really thick glasses, and I was bent over a book, and there was bright light, and I was up till 1 o'clock in the morning doing my homework. And it was just – everything was just taking so long, and it was such hard work. And – so when I graduated from college, I was like, I got to find some better way to deal with life because I can't – I was an English major in college, and it was just killing me to try and read like that. And I'm just so passionate about reading. So I went to the orientation center at the Iowa Department for the Blind, and I learned to read Braille. Actually, I had a itinerant teacher come out with me while I was still in college because I was so frustrated. Because I was an English major and a poet, and I was trying to give a poetry reading at the campus coffee house, and I had it in this really big font on the paper, but the room was too dark, and I couldn't read it, and I didn't have it memorized, and I was really, really embarrassed. And I'm like, I just never want to be embarrassed like that again. I want to be able to read no matter what happens. So I got a teacher, came out to work with me, and then I finished up learning it when I went to the orientation center. And then I learned other skills, like how to use a computer with speech and Braille, and how to get around with a cane. And I learned how to use power tools, which I had always wanted to do. I'd always wanted to play in my dad's tool shop. And that just gave me so much confidence. It made me understand that I really could go out there and get a job and do things. And it inspired me to want to teach other people that and to kind of share that with other blind kids and really want to advocate for blind kids, even when they can read print, have some residual vision, to learn Braille because they could read so much faster and be so much more efficient. And it's so much easier to learn things when you're a kid. People can and do learn Braille as an adult. I did, and I know a lot of people who have, and it's not that hard to do. It takes a lot of work, but it – the main thing is that it's just like it's so much easier to do when you're a kid. So just really advocating to, you know, give kids that opportunity and that extra tool in their toolbox.
I'm talking with Emily Wharton. She's technology director for the Iowa Department of the Blind. The Iowa Braille Challenge took place over the weekend. And I want to bring someone else into the conversation now. Gabriel Urbano placed second in the varsity division at the Iowa Braille Challenge this year, competing against other high school students. He is a sophomore at Hampton Dumont High School in Hampton, Iowa. Hello, Gabriel.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Yep.
So this was your first time competing at the Iowa Braille Challenge. What made you want to get involved?
Well, I thought this seems kind of interesting. I thought it was something I could try out to know what I could do. Because previous to that, I used to go to such things. And when I was told of this, I was a little unsure, but I still decided, well, I need to go there.
All right. So you decided to take on the challenge. And Emily, give us an idea of what Gabriel was walking into. I mean, how many competitors are there and how do they set up the competition?
There were 20 overall, and it's kind of grouped by age. There's a special group called the Rookies for folks who are testing below grade level so that they still want to participate, but maybe they're still in the process of learning Braille, so that maybe they're not working at grade level, so they can be involved in the competition in that way. And then there's an apprentice, and I'm not remember exactly. The littlest kids are in the apprentice division. And then freshman is 5th and 6th grade. I might be getting these off a little bit. The junior varsity is junior high, and the varsity is the high school students. And so they're kind of grouped by age in that way. And so the tests become a little, you know, are kind of slated towards the age groups. And so then they get to meet a lot of, you know, the little kids get to see some older kids, and then they get to meet some blind adults and, you know, who are there, you know, volunteering and talking about some other things. And so, yeah, they get to kind of have that experience of meeting a lot of other blind kids.
And Gabriel, what did you actually have to do during the competition? What was your challenge?
The challenge?
Yeah. What did you have to do? How much did you have to read, and how did the challenge work?
Well, I sort of forgot a little bit about it, but it was as it was said, it was for tests or whatever they are. But it's proofreading and charts and graphs, and they were had to write the options that they had on the pages.
All right, and were you nervous going into this?
Yeah, I was very nervous. I thought I wasn't gonna make it.
But you did, and you got second place, which is very cool. And there were a lot of other things going on at the Iowa Braille Challenge as well. As Emily was just saying, you got to meet a lot of people. But then there were also workshops as well, and workshops for parents of the kids who were competing. What was your favorite thing about the challenge?
Can you specify?
Yeah, what was your, from the weekend, what was your favorite thing? What made you the happiest?
I met a chemistry person, and I thought, and I like chemistry, so I thought that was very awesome.
Oh, very cool. I know that Dr. Kerry Supolo was there. Emily, he's a blind chemistry professor, so he was able to talk to the crowd about what it's like to enter academia.
Yeah, he gave a presentation to the parents in the morning as part of a panel of there was a bunch of different blind adults who are working, you know, in different fields. One was a technology person, one was a personal trainer, we had a lawyer, and we had Professor Savallo. And so they were kind of giving some advice to parents about things that their parents, you know, did really well that helped them out, and some things maybe they wish their parents would have done to kind of help them to find ways to help their kids. And then he gave a speech to the participants and everybody in the afternoon about his experiences and how, you know, the barriers that people were putting in front of him about taking math and science classes, and how he had to work through those, and how it inspired him to. He's created a company called Independent Science that now works with K-12 schools across the country to help them to include blind kids in science classes.
Well, and Gabriel, I just want to say congratulations to you. I know that coming in second gives you possibly the opportunity to go and compete in California. Are you going to be able to take advantage of that? Will you get to go to California?
I'll try my best.
All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful time. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Gabriel Urbano placed second in the varsity division this year, competing against other high school students at the Iowa Braille Challenge. He's a sophomore at Hampton Dumont High School in Hampton, Iowa. And Emily, I know this is a fairly small competition, but this seems like this gives kids a really big opportunity. What do you hope kids take away from the experience?
I hope that they come away with knowing that whatever it is that they want to do when they grow up, that they can achieve that. That a lot of times, a lot of people think that there are different career fields that blind people couldn't or shouldn't go into. But, you know, a lot of it, you know, like Dr. Supala was talking about how he was not allowed to take high school calculus because his guidance counselor and everybody in his IEP meeting told him that no blind person had ever taken calculus. And then the next summer, he went to the National Federation of the Blind Convention and met a blind high school calculus teacher. And so one of the other things that I'm kind of hoping that they got to take away is that there are a lot of folks out there wanting to help them achieve those dreams, folks who have already kind of been there and done that, who would be more than happy to share their experiences with them. You know, Dr. Supala was handing out his, you know, contact information and things like that to the kids so they could, you know, talk more and, you know, hook. Somebody was saying that they were interested in astrophysics or something sciencey like that. And so somebody else who was there said, oh, I know somebody who works for NASA who's blind. And here, let me get him your contact information and things like that. And so I hope that they understand that there are these resources out there and there's people who really want to help them to get the skills that they need to succeed as an adult. There's to help them to understand, you know, to, you know, get their Braille speed really proficient and learn to use a cane and be able to travel independently. That was one of the neat stories that Dr. Sapala told during his speech, was about how he went to study abroad in Cambridge, and somehow had gotten around amongst his classmates that he was if anything happened to them, they were financially liable for him. And so nobody wanted to travel with him, and he wanted to go to Rome and Paris because he's over in Europe and he wants to go explore. And so since nobody would go with him, he decided, heck with it, I'm just going to go by myself. And he did. And he was telling about some of the adventures and things that he had over there. And
I'm sure that's inspiring to hear. Since you are a technology guru and a technology nut, there's so many new technologies that are coming out, and a lot of people are using technologies that can be useful for the blind. Do you feel like you are facing an uphill challenge getting people to embrace Braille, this older technology that clearly can be so incredibly useful?
Sometimes, but I think that the Braille technology kind of bridges that gap a little bit. I have this Braille note taker device that is on my desk right here, is I can connect it up to my iPhone, and I can run my iPhone totally with Braille and the keys on that keyboard. Yeah. And I can read the output of my text messages and my emails in Braille. And, you know, I can also do it with a headphone in my ear, but it's way better to listen and concentrate on when the people around me when I'm reading in Braille. So having that kind of flexibility and that kind of the Braille of the new generation, I guess, you know, that I think that really shows people the possibilities of that this is not antiquated. This is really modern and really very, very useful.
Emily, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Emily Wharton is Technology Director for the Iowa Department of the Blind. The Iowa Braille Challenge took place over the weekend. Talk of Iowa is produced at Iowa Public Radio. Please join us tonight for our caucus coverage. We'll be on the air tonight as the caucuses are open, and we'll bring you results throughout the evening hours. Also, if you want to prepare for your caucusing tonight, you can go to our webpage, iowapublicradio.org, and learn more about all of the candidates that are in the running. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.